Good morning. Today is Wednesday, October the 14th. Joining us this morning is Humboldt County 5th District Supervisor Steve Madrone. Good morning.
Good morning, Brian, and all your listeners.
Yes, and all the ships at sea, right?
That's right.
Little Walter Winchell to start the morning with.
Yeah.
All righty, Winston, why do we say it?
The selection's starting to run a little dry. We might need to get a new book soon.
I can do that.
Here we go. Why do we say without rhyme or reason?
Without rhyme or reason, huh? Boy. Rhyme or reason. There's probably weren't two elves in the forest, so... I don't know, Steve, you got a thought?
No thoughts on that one.
Without rhyme or reason. maybe logic or... Yeah, okay, logic. There's no thought about something.
Well, and rhyme means things, you know, kind of work together, right?
So. Yeah, okay. So
reason.
What...
It has to do with poetry. Some poems have no sense to them, but at least have rhyme. Some prose are considered awkward, but at least has reason.
There you go.
All right, so... Basically, we could say haiku.
Yeah, good to have some rhyme and reason in our daily lives.
Yes,
right?
Yes. Oh, boy, wouldn't it be nice?
Yeah. I still haven't heard you do any poetry, so.
No, you know what? And I wouldn't be holding my breath either. Hey, I saw something 2-3 weeks ago. It was talking about some changes with marijuana in the state of California, how things were being treated, processed, that kind of stuff. I know it's starting to kind of surface on the federal level also that I think Senator Harris had indicated that she was wanting to push forward a national legalization on that, either in the future or if elected.
Yeah, I heard that in the
VP.
Debate last night.
Yeah, so what's kind of the update in that neck of the woods?
Well, the governor did just recently sign a bill for appellations, which basically means that if you're trying to label your cannabis product, marijuana, whatever you want to call it, as coming from a particular place, that you've got to be able to certify that it is, in fact, from that place. As we know, Humboldt County had gotten quite a reputation for having some pretty high-quality cannabis, marijuana, in the international arena. It was well-known for that without even spending a dime on marketing, right? It just, the word got out. But what's happened with the onset of legalization is a lot of people are trying to say, oh, this is Humboldt cannabis, and it may or may not be. And so with this new bill, it will make it so that folks are going to have to be able to prove one way or another. I don't know all the details, but, you know, if it's labeled as Humboldt, then it needs to really come from there. And there's this idea that it's called terroir, which means grown in the soil of the native area. And as we know with grapes, you know, Bordeaux and Napa wines and stuff, this kind of stuff has been done very successfully, the Appalachians approach or stuff that comes from a particular area. And they've used that very successfully in the wine industry. And so there are a lot of folks that are hoping that this new bill that was signed and the Appalachians requirements will give Humboldt County a edge in the market for its high-quality product that gets produced.
Well, one of the things I know, I'm more familiar with Alaska and wines than I am with marijuana. See, I'm coming of age.
Yeah.
if it's Alaska, it's got the polar bear on it.
That's it,
but it has to be approved. Napa, I think for a wine to be called Napa Valley, I think it's like 25% has to be from that region. Champagne, 100% has to come from Champagne. I think Bordeaux might, because it's a grape, it's a little bit of a different in that one. So with this move that the governor made, is it grown and processed? Grown, a percentage, you buy them in pounds. 50% of whatever you buy has to come from or trace to Humboldt County. Did he get into the specifics of that, or was it more of a broad stroke?
You know, I'm still learning about the specifics myself, but I think it does get pretty detailed, and you've got to be able to show that it truly is from that area. another example is Kona Coffee. You know,
sure.
Hawaii.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there are a lot of great examples out there, and there was a marketing study just completed by Humboldt County as well, that was done by the Humboldt County Growers Association, and they identified all these elements from Kona, Napa, Bordeaux, and other things, and took a really close look at what are the various elements that were successful in those regions in terms of marketing and such. So that's sort of the first step the county took a look at, and then we're going to consider a marketing plan, a branding type of an approach down the road. So there's some funds that have been set aside for that, and that will be coming here in the near future.
Now, that's not county funds. Those are from the growers?
Those are county, well, there's equity funds that we got from the state government, and then there was also the cannabis excise tax money, Measure S, that we've put a significant amount of that into this effort. So that would be county taxes.
Now, there's been a fair amount of emphasis over the past, 5 years or so, the farm-to-table concept and the tracking, and this was grown here, and this was the fertilizers that were used, and, I guess stemming out of, botany pun, stemming out of the whole organic and what is organic and what isn't, what's right. Natural and what isn't. Is this kind of parallel to that?
Yes, it is in many ways. And, there's a lot of different things going on out there in the market in terms of how people are growing the product. And, back in the day, not that long ago, it was almost entirely grown in the ground. But over time, people have moved away from growing it in the native soils where you might put amendments in and such like that and grow it in the sun. And they've started doing these commercial industrial greenhouses. And the county had everybody try and move out of the hills down onto prime ag soil. But what's really a shame is a lot of this is coming down on the prime ag soil. And then they cover it over with plastic and gravel and grow in pots with imported soils. So why are we doing it on ag soil and just covering it up? That's a little bit crazy. And you can do that kind of thing anywhere, right? Whereas the product that is grown from a particular area in its soil, whether that's grapes or cannabis, can impart a certain flavor, a certain effect. And
yeah,
so
characteristics.
That's what people
are looking
for. Yeah. Yeah.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long, on 980 AM. We are Easy Radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy Radio, 980 AM.
Morning, KINS. News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Steve Madrone. Steve, the concept with the marijuana industry kind of growing, I know there's been some stop starts, there's been some challenges, you got code enforcement, a bunch of different elements are the reality today that are different from two years ago.
Yeah.
One of the thoughts that I, or the questions I have, has hydroponics moved into the marijuana industry? Is that a factor? Because then there's, you were talking about soil and some of the characteristics soil brings, but if there's no soil at all, obviously there's no weeds. Well, okay, no unintended weeds, but it's a quicker, more efficient delivery system, et cetera, whether you're growing Brussels sprouts or kohlrabi or whatever it might happen to be. Is hydroponics something that is allowed in this entire process when you're trying to recognize Humboldt for Humboldt and whatever it is that the nutrients in the soil bring into the equation?
Yes. Hydroponics has always been around, and it's primarily an indoor type of an operation. One of the big problems as we've legalized things is a lot of stuff has gone indoors. A lot of the illegal activity has gone indoors, and people have been trying to figure out how to deal with that. In any kind of a market, you're always going to have the legal and the illegal parts to it, but there still is a substantial amount, and a lot of people have done indoors, or they started to do light depth in greenhouses and pull tarps over and other types of things with light assistance to grow two or three crops a year, where they do this thing called Sea of Green, where you've got little plants that flower early and you can do two or three rotations and get more money out of it. But again, this isn't grown outside in the sun, in the soil, so it's a manufactured product, really, in that sense, and you could do that anywhere. And so in Humboldt, you know, we have always been proud of the high-quality products that we produce here, but what happened with the ordinances is that it became so expensive here in Humboldt to enter the legal market that all the little small farmers that maybe had 50 plants or 1,000 square feet or whatever it might be ended up going to 10,000 square feet in order to be able to make enough income to pay for all the costs of becoming legal, you know, consulting fees, state fees, county fees, et cetera, et cetera. And so what started to happen is we started to lose all of our legacy small farmers who were tending the crops in great detail with high quality. And so we kind of wiped a lot of that out. Used to be, by all estimates, 5 years ago, maybe 6,000 to 8,000 gardens out there, or farms. And now we've got maybe 800 permitted farms and another maybe 600 or 800 that will ultimately get permitted. So what happened to the other 4,000 or 5,000? And we've concentrated all of that into the hands of a few and kind of wiped out those small farmers. So we're recently taking some efforts to change that. And this last week we passed a brand new small farmer ordinance amendment to the cannabis ordinance. And that's going to allow small farmers that live on the land and are doing this within the curtilage, the 2-acre curtilage of their homestead that's already been disturbed, growing it in the sun, in the soil, collecting rainwater, not growing it by a creek, you know, permaculture, doing all the right things, then we're giving people a very easy access to permitting in a 30-day period with much less cost. So we're hoping that will incentivize the return of a lot of small farmers.
But they still have the cost of business.
Oh,
right?
Yeah,
and
they,
there's still workers' comp, there's still payroll taxes, there's still a lot of the stuff that the hue and cry was about, that a lot of us in business, we've been paying that for decades, and it was like they wanted exceptions from that also, which, talk about...
Well, they didn't get them, but the thing of it is, with the 2,000 square foot, whoa, that's big.
Yeah, that's a small, that's boutique-y.
Yeah, right. The 2,000 square foot garden can be tended by just two people, the people that live there. They can tend it, they can process it, they can pretty much do everything. So they don't have to have workers with worker comp and payroll taxes and all that.
Right.
So, you know, small allows you to do a lot of things.
What about getting the product to market then? Do they go into a cooperative, or are they able to, like some of the grape guys, they bring this stuff to, you know, they harvest it and then it sits there and somebody comes by and buys it?
Right. So that is still one of the other issues, is sales and distribution. And because of the federal laws that continue to have marijuana, you know, on a list of very, very dangerous types of things, which may change in November, we will see, that caused the state, when we passed Prop 64 and the state regulations were developed, there was concern that we do something that would make it so the federal government would leave us alone in California, right? And so one of those things was to set up a distribution system. Now, what happens, like so much farming, is that the majority of the money made in this industry, like so many agricultural products, ends up in the hands of the distributors and the retailers, rather than in the hands of the farmers, you know, and that's true with corn and soybeans and you name it. So that's now happened to cannabis. So a lot of folks are hoping that with a change at the federal level, we might be able to see, you know, decriminalization of cannabis federally, and that then distribution might be able to loosen up. And so one of the thoughts is that these small farmers might be able to sell their product at the farmers markets and have direct sales access, which would be fantastic. You know, when you go to the farmers market on Saturday and buy your head of lettuce or your peaches or whatever, they're not testing every single peach or head of lettuce. They do an annual certification for their organic farm, and then they're able to sell those products. So whereas within the cannabis industry, we test everything to the hilt, and we don't even do that with our food crops. Cannabis is far more regulated than any agricultural product on the planet.
And we'll talk about that when we come back. It's 8:30.
Hi, my name is Keith Lund. I am an electrician for Owsley Electric. You can go into a trade, be 18, become a trainee. They do require some education. You have 120 hours of classroom education, plus you have to work 2,000 hours a year. So after 4 years, then you can go out and work for another company, getting your own certificate, become your own boss. There's quite a few options you can do.
Own your future and learn more about the Trades Academy at hcoe.org.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County Supervisor Steve Madrone. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, REDEC, Humboldt Termite Pest Control, Murphy's Markets, and Baywood Golf and Country Club. Steve, before the break, we were talking a little bit about you were postulating the concept that marijuana might be able to be sold in the future at farmers markets. And I'm thinking, yeah, it's an ag product, but we don't allow marijuana or wine or beer or alcoholic beverages sold in that fashion. Why would marijuana be treated any differently?
Yeah, well, that's a good point. But there are many events that happen that are farmers market-like events, festivals, and other things where there is sales of alcohol.
Right. Right.
So it varies based on the permits that the organizers have gotten for the events. And I think the farmers market permits are very simple and not very complicated because they don't sell alcohol and things like that. But clearly, you know, on the Arcata Plaza and Old Town Eureka, there are many, many events where there is a tremendous amount of alcohol sales that go on at those events. So,
those have special permits and
right.
are not ongoing weekly events. Those are like an afternoon or
right.
a one day or so. That kind of puts it in a different light, doesn't it?
Well, it does. It does put it in a different light, you know. And then one of the other things people are talking about is farm tours. Amsterdam, I was able to go to Amsterdam about 20 years ago, and I remember getting off the train at Schiphol train station and walking out, and there was 10,000 bikes hooked up at the bike rack. I mean, literally 10,000 bikes. Well, they're pretty flat, right? So bikes work really well. But as you know, they had a tremendous tourism trade that developed around cannabis, and it wasn't even legal. They just decided that, well, we're going to allow this in the red light district, as they called it, where there were lots of things going on, including cannabis sales, and they sell it at the coffee shops, as they call them. And you'll go there and you'll see tourists of all kinds, you know, every political persuasion, every age group, old grandmothers leaning over and saying, "Sir, can you help us roll up this marijuana joint?" You know, stuff. And it cracked me up to see how that was going on. But they created quite an economy around that. And so there are a lot of people that are thinking, well, that could be another piece of economic development. With farm tours and stuff, but a lot to work on in that arena still.
Yeah, I know that it was discussed early on that there would be tourism like the coffee farms.
Right.
Okay, or wine tours.
Wine tourism, yeah.
And that kind of stuff, it's an interesting concept because it is so different, and for so many of us it kind of runs counter to where our roots are.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so
well, in Napa,
As the county is looking at this or entertaining these thoughts, is it systemic changes that are going to have to be made, or are these just new applications of existing ordinances and codes and regulations to allow this stuff to occur safely and wisely and not
right.
have some of the negative downsides that many
right.
of us are concerned of?
Well, in the existing cannabis ordinance in Humboldt County, farm tours are allowed. The trick is you've got to be able to meet ADA requirements, and lots of other things. And so, you know, the few that look like they may be moving ahead with farm tours are immediately adjacent to a county paved road, for instance, right? And then they'll make a few paved pathways in the garden areas with an ADA bathroom, that kind of stuff. So there are a few that look like maybe within a year or so they might be moving into that arena. Of course, COVID has slowed all those kinds of things down. But, you know, we're starting to look at that, and there is already code in the ordinances regarding that.
Now, the concept or the term of organic is something I know the dairy farmers have dealt with for quite some time. Produce growers certainly have been the case, as well as ranchers. Is there a clarification of what the term organic means versus natural? Even my understanding is organic is different than organically grown. You know, you just get lost in the details with so many of these areas, and everybody's trying to position because it's worth another 10 or 15% at the retail level.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of confusion out there and a lot of marketing tricks that happen, like with natural, like you said. But natural is not necessarily organic, and there are standards for organic certification, and they're regulated, and I believe there are annual checkups on all those kinds of things. And that's true for any kind of a product that's being labeled that way. You know, Humboldt County's done a great job of marketing its grass-fed beef, for instance, right?
Right,
we've got
right.
Some of the best grass-fed beef in the country, you know, right here, and some of the best organic dairies here in the state, and also some of the best cannabis. So, you know, Humboldt, in terms of positioning for economic development, really shouldn't be trying to be the place where we produce the bulk, you know, the low-quality bulk products of any kind. Let's just produce the best beef, the best milk, the best cannabis, and be known for that, and then we will attract people that want that. But, you know, there's a lot of care to be taken in this. Napa actually makes more money off their tourism than they do off the wine sales.
Right.
But they've been overrun, and so, you know, success can be horrible sometimes for the local community. So what's important is to try and figure out, well, what kind of visitor are you trying to attract, and how do we set up a marketing system that really tries to attract a high-quality, responsible visitor rather than just being overrun by people that don't really care that much about the local community.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Steve Madrone. Steve, the concept of Humboldt County grown products, whether it's legal, illegal, federally recognized, whatever it might happen to be, award-winning or not, there is certainly a lot of that kind of product being sourced, I guess, from our area. But much of it requires larger chunks of land. Can we get on our economic feet and still continue to do the boutique-y stuff that we've kind of alluded to and talked about, or will we always kind of be not able to participate in the economic growth when it comes back?
Well, I think supporting small is a great way to go in terms of protecting the local economy.
I'm looking to grow the local economy, not to just maintain it.
Same here, and that's part of why I pushed the small farmer ordinance through this Tuesday. Because, you know, when you get big, when you commercialize and industrialize everything, more than likely a significant portion of the profits are leaving the community, right? Whereas when you have mom-and-pop businesses, almost all those profits stay in the community doing work. So there's something to be said about small in terms of what it does.
Sure, I was thinking more of the employment base, like when we're looking at the fish guys out on the North Spit. It's right. Like, yeah, okay, so they're not locally owned, but they're employing local people. And yeah. Local people have got kids and local right. vendors to supply and to mechanic and to
that's right.
you know, help support. You know, so there's those second, third, and fourth tertiary levels where there are benefits, even if that initial wave of profit might not stay here, the net at the end is so much better for the local economy.
It sure is. It sure yeah. is. You know, I have conversations all the time with folks about this particular issue and where people think, oh, let's just get more chain stores in here. You know, let's get Trader Joe's. Let's get this. Let's get that. You know, in McKinleyville, for instance, Kmart has closed and Ray's is closed.
Right.
We got these, you know, big shopping centers just going under. And, you know, we add a new grocery outlet and then, boom, there goes Ray's. And we add an AutoZone and there goes Kragen. You know, I mean, that's not economic development. That's just bringing in chain stores and shoving out small mom and pops.
That's just right? That's an exchange program, yeah.
It is. It is. Yeah. And that's kind of been happening. And people think... well, the chain stores are great for the poor and for the community because they provide more products at a cheaper cost. And I've asked, you know, members of the community, so then what? And they say, well, what do you mean? And I said, so then what happens with that money? And, you know, the bottom line is, in general, mom-and-pop small businesses pay better wages, and most of the money stays in the local economy, whereas chain stores usually pay, not always, but usually pay less wages, and a lot of the money leaves. So... you know, we've got to look at not just, oh, I can get that product a little cheaper here, but then what did our money do? How did that support the local community, the schools, the police services, the roads, and all that kind of stuff?
So you're telling me when it comes to re-election in 2 years, you're going to be spending with this locally owned media outlet far more than anybody else, right? Because we're locally
owned? Oh, that's right, because you're small.
See, I knew I liked man. You.
What a setup. You bet. Local is good. KINS has been here a long time. Pop is a fantastic program for the community.
So I think I'm going to have to tape this and send it to you in about a year and a half.
Now, Madron, you remember.
Oh, geez. All righty. Well, hey, keep, you know, I was going to say keep busy, but I think you've got that part nailed. Stay in control. Let's see if we make it through this thing, okay?
Hey, we'll do our best to be respectful and productive. Take care, Brian.
All right. Thanks, Steve. Bye-bye. See everybody tomorrow.